Chapter 2. En famille. Toward the fall of 1949, Claude and I accepted her parents' invitation to move in with them. After a year in a garret, I could not resist the temptation of a large apartment with central heating and a bathroom, though I had misgivings about forsaking the lively Left Bank and my buddies at the Principautés Unies for the triste 16th. I was also unsure whether I could cope with Natasha's moods, the erratic Slav temperament. She could be uptight and relaxed, petulant and amiable, dour and jolly. Even so, I adored her. Or perhaps it was the intellectual electricity of her company. Her dinners were monastic. A dry omelette or chop, pallid vegetables, soggy salad, tired cheese, fruit, yogurt, and vin ordinaire. But the food was secondary to the ambience. Subtle, sensitive, eclectic, and stimulating, she orchestrated the conversation, which might range from discussions of Kafka or Jean Genet to the new Ennui play, a recent Swedish film, or Piaf's current review at the Olympia. She reveled in gossip, Picasso's latest mistress, Jean-Paul's quarrels with Simone. When the talk got too complicated for my rudimentary French, I would sit there mutely nodding, smiling, and pretending to fathom it all. For Natasha, virtually everything had to contain a literary allusion. Construing my silence to be humility, she dubbed me Alyosha, the saintly Karamazov brother. It was a tender sobriquet, and I suspected she regarded me as the son she yearned to have had. She balked at disclosing much about her personal life, contending that all she wished to divulge could be gleaned from her novels. Periodically, however, she would reveal a few details to me, and Claude also provided me with scraps.